That is your name, right? Yeah. No. I love giving him a hard time, but he is absolutely, his family is absolutely wonderful. We just love Scott. So good to know that we are in March. Hey, and so each day is closer to spring, and it is staying lighter longer. Yeah, so you can get more yard work done, right, as that comes up. Hallelujah. I'm really believing this Wednesday is going to be a healing service. That's what I feel, and so I believe we're going to see some great things happen Wednesday. So I'd encourage you, you know, maybe you have that neighbor or friend that is fighting whatever they're fighting in the physical, bring them here and let God take care of that, and we'll believe for great things. It's just, I'm really encouraged about where we're heading. This week, if we can get our schedules together, a meeting with the architect, the contractor, myself, and probably Tom back wherever Tom went. But you know, just we've already decided, we've picked out the entryway, and so we're trying to get all on the same page for what we think will be the cost and all of that. So once all that happens, I will bring that information to you. And so just so that you know, I mean, I'm pretty transparent, just so you know. You know, we've looked at the doors have been there ever since this building was built in 92, something like that. And they're not really good. One door's broke and we don't use it. And then the glass that comes up has already been compromised. You can't really see through it very well. And it looks not so good. And so we priced back some time ago just getting new doors and, you know, what it would take to redo those windows. We might as well put on a new entryway, just so you know. Just like it didn't make any sense, and so that's why we went this route, and we're excited about that. And then the next, you know, as we get that going, we'll be looking at our parking lot, and we'll be looking at redoing Kidstown. Some of you that are bringing your kids back there, if you notice, the walls are three-quarter. They're three-quarter because we don't need permits at three-quarter walls. That's just the plain simple truth, but there's styrofoam up at the top, and but we want to, you know, kind of make Kidstown Kidstown. I want to create almost that kids' world when they go back there and they're just like, this is awesome, and they learn about Jesus and they're wanting to bring their friends and all of that. They do that now, but I mean, how much more fun would that be to be like, there's just, it's just so sweet that those kids are like, this is amazing. We'll see all of those things happen, and we'll do it together. How many believe that we can do a lot when God puts us, you know, and we all work together? So that's what it is. I'll tell you everything up front, and we'll go about it that way. All right, let's welcome our online guests. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us. We've been talking about the believer's authority and the things that are up to us to do, and this is actually week four of that, and I hope you're getting a lot out of that. I know. For me, it just is helping me remember things and things that, have you ever done something and you're like, I got to do that again. Oh, I forgot about that. I need to tweak that or I need to fix this. So we've been talking about the authority in God and how to use it and what's our part to play. And I talked last week about the sovereignty of God, and I talked about that dictionary definition. And I kind of messed with some people's theology because we grew up in the earth curse system, so to speak, or the world age where we've talked about, it's just, you know, God's will for everything to happen, and he was in control of everything. And that if we really believe that, it turns us passive, because why do anything? Because God's, he does everything. It doesn't matter what we do. But it turns people passive, and we just don't do anything with our faith. But let's just be honest, if God controlled everything, and you did anything different, you'd be resisting God. Think about what I just said. If you decided, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be, no, well, why? Because you'd be resisting God. Could you do it better than God? I mean, so we have to understand, sometimes we go along with stuff just because the crowd goes along. And we need to look at the Word. But I showed you in the Word, it gives us a choice, and that Jesus delegated you and I as believers authority. And that authority is what he gave us. He took it back from the enemy. And he has all power, all authority, and delegated that to us. What messed us up is, and I'm not against this translation, but just so that you know, the NIV promoted and popularized this theory on the sovereignty of God, because that phrase Almighty God and God Almighty is translated over 300 times in the NIV as Sovereign Lord. And so from that, then we're like, okay. But if we look up what everything said, like even in the King James or just in the dictionary, I'll spit it out here, Webster's dictionary or whatever the definition of sovereign, I agree with God being sovereign. He is the God that created everything. I agree with that. But not man's definition, that dictionary one. He's first in rank, order, and authority. I get that, and I agree with that. The issue is that we miss the fact that God delegated that authority to you and I. Jesus came back, took it back from the enemy, and then he had to go be with the Father and delegated it to us, and I'll show you in Scripture. But do you know, if you don't use your authority, if you don't use the delegated authority that Jesus got for you, that he bought back for you, and you don't resist the devil, he does not leave voluntarily. He doesn't have to, because nobody is making him. Does that make sense? He's not going to leave on his own. See, we have this idea that, well, if God is in control of everything, then God makes us sick. God's teaching us a lesson. It's God that made my marriage fail. It's God that made my business go bankrupt. It's God that makes me live paycheck to paycheck. If we believe that, then we become passive. God is in control, so why even try? I don't want to resist God according to that belief. That isn't true. How many knows? Everybody say balance. Things get out of balance. Things get preached and they get out of balance. You know, people talk about prosperity in church. That can get out of balance. We talk about health. That can get out of balance. Depending on how we talk. If we don't talk about it from the Word's view or the Word's point or the Word's, that's where everything is drawn. That's the plumb line. I don't know about you, but I like being healthy. I'm a little too healthy right now, and I'm working on that. But I like being healthy. I like doing what God wants me to do. I don't like sickness. Do you like sickness? Sickness isn't good. I remember back in the day, remember being sick and in my mind thinking, well, this will probably run its course. And I just gave that thing permission to run its course. Then I started understanding authority, and I was like, the course is, have you ever told the devil his party is over? We raised 4 kids. My boys that start doing stuff. Kim has got ears. Her superpower is hearing. She could hear a grasshopper or a cricket rub its legs together 200 yards. I'm telling you, the woman can hear. They'd say something, and if she heard it, their party is over. We need to tell the devil his party is over. So let me say, we need to understand true authority because he's delegated it to you and I. And we need to understand and submit. That's the thing. Submit to God and resist the devil. If you don't submit to God, you can resist all you want, but there's got to be a higher authority. The authority I have is delegated. I've told you, like my kids would say, hey, my sister would come in and say, we have to work in the yard. You have to mow the yard and I have to do whatever. Well, she never really worked in the yard. She always did dishes, whatever. And I would say, I'm not doing that. She'd say, Dad said. That phrase would change my life. Because that phrase made everything like, okay, I have to do it. Why? He told her to tell me. Delegated. So I had to do it. If we don't use the authority and we just try to resist without God, you won't have fruit for it. You won't even really have the power for it because the enemy knows who has the power and who doesn't. You have it, but if you don't exercise it, He's not going anywhere. What happens is if we get our faith locked into something that's not God, you can have faith in a lot of things, but you need to have faith in God, in the Word. I mean, you can have faith in that chair will hold me up. It's held me up a lot of times. But what I'm saying is we need something past natural. We need to know that God is God. Aren't you glad you're not? Because come on, if we were all God now, we would be frying a lot of people. I wonder how far this could reach. Boom, that far, great. But if we don't believe that we have delegated authority, now I'm not saying you're all that in a bag of chips, but I'm saying God is. And he's delegated because he doesn't want me to live a terrible life. He wants me to show fruit that people go, I want what they've got. I want to live like they're living. How is that happening? Come on, somebody. It's because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the one in the world is the enemy. He is the king of this world, but God is king. And he delegated that to you and I. God is the source of all power and authority, of life and all power, and that comes from God. Genesis is a story about creation. Every time God did something, he just said it. He just said it. Let there be light. Let the dry land appear. Whoop. I mean, he could do all of that. Let the earth bring forth grass. I don't have a motion for that. Trees, herbs, fruit. Create animals and fish. He just said. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, listen to what, this is the word of God here. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's how he did things. He just spoke. When we do skits or dramas, I took a group to Fine Arts Festival years and years ago, and we did a skit, and we acted like, you know, God created and made man and all of, you know, and the trees and all of that, but really, he just spoke. He just said it. He releases his power and authority by speaking. Listen to what I'm trying to teach you. Faith is voice activated. We exercise our authority by our voice of our belief system, not just saying something just to hear ourselves say it, but something that we believe. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. The word dominion there means authority and power. He gave with his words dominion over physical things. Psalm 115:16. Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. He created everything as the CEO of all. He is the owner. He gives dominion then over the earth and 1:26 to mankind. We just read it. Now, when my boys grew up and my kids grew up, we watched, have you seen the Robin Williams version of Peter Pan called Hook? Remember Peter. He would always tell his son, I'll be there, 5 games. My word is my bond. Anybody remember that? He would say that, my word is my bond. When I grew up, that meant something. My grandfather, you know, if he gave his word, that was a big deal. If you shook somebody's hand, come on. That was your word. If you looked them in the eye, if you were a man, somebody taught you how to shake a hand. You didn't shake a hand like a limp fish. Thank you. You didn't do that. You had a firm handshake. My dad said, you look him in the eye. And if they said, I'll be there, come heck or high water, they're going to be there. If they couldn't, they'd at least call and say, this happened and I can't make it. Can we reschedule? Whatever happened to common courtesy in the world today? Have you ever been somewhere waiting on somebody and they didn't show up and go, oh, yeah, I couldn't make that. Really? What happens nowadays? If you don't like it, leave it. Break the contract. If you have a good lawyer, you can find a loophole and get out of it. If you make them mad, watch out. They could unfriend you. I heard a story where the father just told his daughter, he said, you will not treat us this way. You will not act this. She didn't like any of that conversation. Unfriended her father on Facebook. You are not my friend. He saw that he got unfriended. He thought he'd return the favor. So when she came home from school, he changed all the locks. She's knocking on the door. Can I come in? He goes, we're not friends anymore. My point is, today, it seems like our word doesn't matter. It used to matter. But with God, his word is always true. He never wavers. Hebrews says he doesn't change. Psalm 138, 1 and 2, I'll praise you with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple. Praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified, here it is, your word above all your name. There's so much word to back this up. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. I mean, the word just goes on and on. The name of Jesus is awesome. And the word of God has been magnified above his name. A person's name is really no better than their word. Their name is represented. That's their reputation. They don't keep their word, it damages their reputation of who they are or who they want to represent. They create a track record. Your name carries weight. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We're seeing people today in today's times, they say they're believers, but they don't act like a believer. And that's not good. The word of God has been magnified above his name. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he had made worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and he has an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He spoke everything into existence. Everything that we know, all creation is upheld by his word. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. It says it's impossible for God to lie. So there's some things that are impossible for God. He can't lie, and he can't lose. God can't lie, and he can't lose. So if he says something, it comes to pass. It's a covenant. It's written. You have record of it right here. He didn't just put it there just for funsies. This isn't Hallmark. It's a binding contract. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor after the word that has gone out of my lips. It's a binding contract. He didn't give us dominion, and then because we mess up, change his mind and take his word back. Now, I'm human, but sometimes have you ever did something, gave your kids this, and then said, and they messed up, and you want it back. God upholds everything by the power and integrity of his word. All the atoms and everything that hold us together in creation was spoken by God, and his integrity that continues to uphold and keep it together because he never goes back on his word. If God ever lied once, the entire universe would just fly apart. Because he upholds it. Genesis 1:26 says this, then God said, you might want to take note, if it says when God said, that's pretty good. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Now we've already read this once over the fish, and the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Everything that creeps, that includes the devil, and he's the biggest creep of all. Just so you know. He spoke and gave us authority and power, and he cannot violate that. He cannot go back on his word. It gives us some insight on why the world is so crazy. Because people will say stuff like this to me: God could have stopped that. God could have intervened. There are a lot of things we could have said, yeah. But again, we have delegated authority. You have a free will. There are bad people that do not care about God at all. And they are the enemy's servants, not God's. People just believe God controls everything. They blame him for everything. They blame God, then it's got to be his fault for rape and murder, stealing, hatred, sickness, cancer, diseases, wars, strife, lying, coveting, hoarding, sex trafficking. It must be God's will because he allowed it. You got to understand, he cannot go back on his word. He gave control of this planet to men. Psalm 115, 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he has given to the children of men. Satan's the one that's causing the chaos. Steal, kill, and destroy, that's the enemy. You know where the enemy got his power? He got it from Adam. He got it from man. He didn't get it from God. Psalm 82:6 says, we are the gods of this world. Listen to what it says. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus quoted this in John 10, 34, and 35. But you need to look at the scripture. It's gods with a little g, not gods with a big G. Not a capital. Because he's referring to those that are in charge of this world, the earth. He is saying we were given that by God. From that authority standpoint. Sometimes I've told my kids, this is your job. I need you to clean this. You know, when I was a kid, my dad said, I need this carport clean. He didn't go to my sister and say, how come you didn't clean the carport? Because from his viewpoint, that was given to me. So that was my responsibility. God did give us a restriction after he gave his power. 2 of Genesis 17 of that book says, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's the only restriction he put outside that. The earth is yours to govern. He gave that with no strings attached. You know what's tough? You ever give something and you don't think you have strings, but you did? I've done that. But once you give it, don't you, isn't it really given? Is my mic still on? Okay, all right. Oh. You know, what we have to do as pastors and what's is give people ministries that are in leadership and all that. And we want to. Because God wants to use them and he wants to stretch them. So that has to be delegated. And then you know what has to happen? I don't want to take it back. I want them to be able to do that. And I want them in ways, I mean, I don't know if this makes, this probably doesn't sound like, I want them to have some freedom to mess up. Because I sure have you? And to be able to say, okay, because how, do we learn stuff when we mess up? We maybe, I mean, if we do it intentionally, that's kind of just stupid. Watch me, I'm going to mess up. I mean, we've done that. Have you ever done that? I'll bet you when I walk out, I'll slip on the ice and fall and hit my head. That's kind of stupid. Yeah, we already called that. But I mean, if we are intentionally trying to slip up, that's not smart. But if we're actually, we're just trying to figure this out. I'll give you a case in point. I'd gotten saved. I was in church. I was a leader in church, and I helped with the youth, and I was a Royal Ranger, which is a Christian Boy Scout kind of thing, and so I was a commander in that, and I got filled with the Spirit. And I, you know, so it was new to me. I mean, so filled with the Holy Spirit is like, you know, when you're saved, you're going to have this. Being filled with the Spirit is, if you're not filled with the Spirit, it won't keep you out of heaven. Okay? It's not a, that's not a salvation issue. You're still going to heaven. But what I'm saying is, it's like taking, if you're just saved and you're plugged into a 110, it's like now putting yourself into a 220. Hey! I mean, all of a sudden, you got now, you got some juice in there. You got like, all of a sudden, whoo, I got, All of a sudden, you know, you're like Ali. I'm going to float like a butterfly. You know, so I'm in service. I didn't plan this. I'm in service. Pastor is, you know, we're getting ready. He's gonna preach, I'm sure. And they're doing praise and worship. And then there was just this lull, and nobody was doing anything and saying anything. And all of a sudden, I felt this in my spirit, just like this thing. And it wasn't English. Now, let me just say this. God did not make me say anything. God wasn't going, spit it out, boys, spit it out. He wasn't doing anything like that. But I felt this urge to, I just needed to, you know, and it just was like, boy, it was just like, I don't know why. I'd never done it before, and I felt like the Lord said, just do it. So I remember, it was quiet. And I said, shundalalabak. I said, like, maybe 10 more seconds of that, maybe not even. And I heard myself, like, say that, and I shut up real quick. And then I put my head down, like, what did I just do? I mean, I knew, I felt like I was supposed to do that. And then I got scared. Now, I'm not saying you should be scared. There's nothing you should be scared about. But I'm just saying this was all new to me, and I was out on a limb. And I was, you know, so there I was. And so then somebody came forth with something in English. And they said, you know, and they talked a lot longer than I did my thing. And I didn't know what to do about that. I didn't know what to do about that. And so after church, you know, after church, like here, everybody's walking out. And they were like, boy, that was a good service. I had people coming up to me, like 5, 6 people. What was it like? What do you mean? What was it like? Okay. No, I mean, how did it feel? I just felt like I was supposed to say it. Did God just take control of your tongue and you just couldn't stop it? No, I could stop it because I did. So what was it like? I said, it felt good to say it. What'd you say? I have no idea. But whoever gave an interpretation, that, did you know that's scriptural? Shut the front door. We should see more of that in church. I mean, it was just tongues and interpretation. And the pastor came up and I told him, I'm sorry, boss. And he's like, there's nothing to be sorry about. He said, you did what you're supposed to do. I said, I didn't finish it. He said, that's okay. It's okay. The body of Christ still got edified. And I remember thinking, well, because he said to me, he said, the Lord just used you. And I thought, me? He used me? I mean, there were a lot of people in there that I thought were like giant Christians, you know, when you first get saved. These people must walk on water. Why didn't he use them? You know, God is no respecter of persons. He used you because you believe. And I remember I took a giant step that day. I was like, people were like, oh, I bet next week you just went off. No. No, I was smart enough to know I'm not doing that until I know I'm supposed to. Because the last thing I want to do is make something up. Because you got no fruit from that. But anyway, God moved in my life. We have to be able to delegate things. We have to be able to tell people, I'm not going to try to take that back from you. I want you to be able to do that. And then maybe, hey, we could do this. The pastor said, you just keep going towards God. And that'll get better. And that's what I did. I've given a lot of things away in my life. Sometimes I gave it to somebody and they told you a sad story. And they said, I got to have it. I gave a TV away one time. The guy's like, I got to have it. My kids don't have any TV. We have nothing. And they're just little and they need to watch. I don't know what was going on at that time. I doubt it was it. It wasn't Blippi because that's all new. But it was something way back in the day. I'm like, because I was going to sell this TV. And I'm like, okay, you can have it. The very next time I saw the guy, which is less than a week, he's like, man, that was awesome. Took that TV, said, I sold it. I mean, inside me, I was like, and right now, film at 11, local man kills guy for TV. You know, I mean, my flesh was just like, what? Because for that whole time, guess who didn't have a TV? Not that I had to have one, but here's the principle. When you give something, it's not yours. You give it. And really, to be honest, it never was mine. I'm just a steward over everything. We've given cars away. We've given trucks away. We've given computers. We've given money. We've given whatever. It's not ours. We're just a steward of it. If God said give it, just do it. You cannot outgive God. There's things that he has done in our life where he has said, I thought in myself, we're going to take money, and I mean, it was thousands of dollars. We're going to take this money, and we're going to use it and do something else with it. And he said, I want you to give it. And I said, well, I'm going to tithe off of it, but I want you to give it all. And I almost was like, God, that's not you. And you know what? It was him. And I gave it, and I mean, that was also going to be our Christmas that year. And I've told the story, I'm just condensing it. And you know, in a week, or I mean, it was less than 2 weeks anyway, somebody came to the door. We never said a thing to anybody. Said, the Lord told me to come by. I'm supposed to give you this check for Christmas. Does that make sense to you? And it took care of, we gave our tithe off that, took care of all of our Christmas. Do you understand that God, he's not like, he's observant of everything. He knows every idle word. He knows everything you say. He knows your thoughts. And yet he has delegated authority and faith to you. And it's activated by our voice and our belief system. God doesn't take back things he gives you. You know that? You see, what we do is we allow Satan to come in. And we have an opening there where we believe something that's not of the word. And that's all he's looking for. He's looking for that dent, that little place. And if you said, you know what? I've done that before. We all could probably say, I've got that T-shirt. But God says, he still died for you. My son's blood still works. Do you catch that there's power in the blood? He still delivers. He still saves because he's already done it. We just have to receive it. If God says, Brett, you've been a total screw up. I'm going to take back what I said I'd give you. Did you know the whole universe would go kaboom? Not because I'm involved. It doesn't matter who. He can't take his word back. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is a covenant. He upholds all things by the power of his word. He cannot lie. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You see, when God says stuff like that, do you understand? He ties his own hands. If you don't want to submit to God, the devil doesn't have to go. I told you the story of just with the youth at camp, and they were saying they were trying to get this kid to say the demon that was in there was trying, they were trying to get him to say its name. I'm like, forget that noise. Get out. And the demon was gone. You don't need to talk with a demon. We have the authority. He doesn't resist he doesn't go if you don't resist. If you're not submitted to God, he doesn't have to. Hard to resist sickness if you're just speaking it all the time. Well, my dad had that. My dad's dad had that. Blah, 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 blah. I'll have that. All the kids will probably get that. Nobody. You know, why didn't Adam, you know, he lived 900 and some years. You know, I bet you he never heard of a flu shot. But yet he could walk with God in the cool of the day. Jesus gave power and authority. And he will not violate his word. He gave it to you. It's yours to use. Let me just say this, and I know I'm saying a lot. There's a lot, and we could go on, and that's why it's taken us a while to go through some of this. But God's not going to get in. He's not going to fix your mess without your involvement. You understand? He blesses the work of your hands. If you're not doing anything, you refuse to do anything, zero in heaven is like zero here. You have to. That's why repentance is good. You can start fresh and clean. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to what? The power that works in us. We stop most of the time. We quote, he was do abundantly above what we ask or think. You got to look at the rest of that. According to the power that works in you. You got to believe the rest of the verse. If you have no power working in you, you have no word working in you, you limit what God's going to do with you. He won't operate outside his people. He's not going to operate outside the word. He always works inside the word. He flows through people. I want God just to do great things in my life. Then you have to get involved with God. Psalm 78:41, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. When he flows through us, he is saying, okay. So many times we just like, God, do this. And he's like, help me out here. If I had a glove right here, what good is the glove if I don't put my hand in it? The glove doesn't do anything unless I put my hand in it. It won't keep me warm. It won't do anything. I have to get involved with the glove. He gave us dominion. He will not violate your free will. See, Adam and Eve decided to listen to the enemy, and by their own free will, that's how the enemy got access. They gave it to the devil. They submitted themselves to the devil. That tied God's hands because he gave them the ability to do that. They could choose. If he didn't, he'd be breaking his word, and he would have been a liar, and we wouldn't be standing here today this way. It's not what he wanted, because we've read last week, he wants everyone to be saved, but does everyone get saved? He wants everyone to be well. Is everyone well? So he had to back off for 6,000 years. He'd been working on changing what had happened with Adam and Eve. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him worship in spirit and truth. He gave authority to physical people, and he didn't have a physical body. Now that's why Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus had to come the way he did. He had to come into a physical body. See, that's a game changer. Jesus then had authority on the earth, and now, let me quote a phrase from the 90s. I think it's the 90s. Now it's on like Donkey Kong. That'll probably go on. Here, pastor says it's on like Donkey Kong. That game's still out, isn't it? Okay. You see, that physical body now has authority in heaven and earth, and then that's when Jesus goes ham on the devil. And see, I didn't know what that meant. Zach told me one time we were watching Star Wars, and he said, this person went ham on them. I'm like, what is that? Is ham just like pork? I mean, he'd pick up a leg and he said, no, Dad, he just went off. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. He just went off on him. That's Jesus, then he comes and, you know, that's why he had to go to the cross. He had to be crucified. He went down, you know, in that 3 days, he was busy. He went down, got the keys from the enemy. You know why? Because he went ham on him. And when he rose up, that means, guess what? He's going with the Father, sends his Spirit here, and you and I, greater is he that's in us. We can go ham on the devil now. We can submit to God and just give that old ham hock a swing. I don't know where that's at, but it sounds fun to say. Jesus beat the devil uglier than he already is. Beat him with a big wooden stick. Isn't that great that he shared that authority with you and I? But he had to come in and do that. That's why he went from the cradle to the cross. That's why he told his 12 homies, hey, I've come to die to provide this thing for you. That's why on the cross, all sin, everything that ever could be was laid on him, was put on him. The Bible says he was so marred you couldn't even tell he was a man. He was so beat. You could see his organs. You could see his ribs. He was beat so brutal. But Sunday was on the way. He did all that. Could you just imagine? That just blows me away. Because, I mean, you got Mary running to the tomb, and the tomb is rolled away, and the angel sitting on it. You know, all of that. There's a whole message in that. But could you imagine? God, of course, knows, my son, he alive. He's ready. But guess who's the next person to know? The devil. Would you have loved to have been in that courtroom down there? And the devil's like, well, yeah, kicked his booty. And all of a sudden, things start shaking. Sir, something's going on. And Jesus just, every step he takes, this is Navon calling. Boom, boom, boom. He's about to say, hand over the keys, pal. That's awesome. It is so important that you know the word and what the word says. What you don't know about the word. Sometimes we suffer because of lack of what? Knowledge. We need to get the word in us. The enemy will try to sway you, and that's what he does. Lies, deception, fear. It's all based on fear, but, you know, if you're afraid, you're deceived. If you don't know the truth, you've been lied to. We overcome the enemy by the truth. It is the truth, the word of God, the truth that sets you free. Do you believe that? Sometimes it's tough in the physical. It's really easy. Let me say this, and I'm closing. And I'm serious. I am closing. Sometimes when the preacher says that, you're like, yeah, 20 minutes later, we'll see what that is. I am closing. When you're going through it, isn't it hard? I mean, it's easy when you're on the other side and somebody says, I've just had this nasal, it's just been terrible. And you're like on the other side, you just need to rebuke that. You need to, you know, you're having all these things go through your mind. Those are all true things. I get it. Sometimes how you present it is not so great because then it makes people feel less or whatever. But when it's you in the middle of the battle, it's sometimes hard to pull out because your mind is like, oh, if you're in pain, you gotta somehow drown out the pain and focus on what the word says. And that's tough. And sometimes you walk that out. It's because it's everybody, you have the measure of faith. I've taught you that. Not a measure, the measure. But it has to be exercised. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about casting out. I'm talking about exercise. So it has to be used. And as it's more used, it gets stronger. But there's times that Kim and I, you guys put some music on for me because I'm closing. Won't be 20 minutes, I promise. This is my last story. For real. There's been times I didn't understand. I don't know whatever I felt like. And the enemy will let me play the game of what did I do to let this in? How did this sickness touch my... You know what I'm saying? And you start, but I have to go back to the word. Doesn't matter. Here's my reality. The battle is on. So how am I going to fight it? I can't fight it with how it got there. I'm just going to get it out. He can show me how it got there, and then I can seal that hole. Amen? But I'm going to, if it's still leaking, you better seal it now. But I'll just get the word, and I'll start, and I'll just be like, okay. Sometimes, you know, she'll be telling me, you need to this and this and this. All true. But we're different. So sometimes I'll have to go out. I have to go out to my gym out at the house, at the barn, and I have to get with God, and I'll get mad at the devil. And I'll come back, and things will flip. And I already know I'm on the mend. I can feel the Spirit of God in me. I can feel things happening. And some people are like, I've seen it instantly, where all of a sudden, boom, I'm healed. It's done. But I have the same proclamation when I don't see the result. Because better is better. Does that make sense? Better is better than being worse. So I'm going to keep walking. If it's, you know, whatever pain it is, I'm just going to keep walking, and I'm going to declare the goodness of God. Faith is voice activated. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. By your stripes, I was healed. And then whatever area is hurting, if it's physical, I call that area out. In Jesus' name, I speak to every bone, every vertebrae, every nerve, every muscle, every tendon. I command you to line up with the word. Why am I saying to the word? Because the word is perfect. The word is true. The word is truth. I want it to line up with what God says, and that's what I have to line up with. And by his stripes I was, and I'll just keep quoting it. Devil, I resist you. I submit to God. I'm under his authority. You have no right to be here. You are kicked out in Jesus' name. And I start telling my body, do what you can't do. And that's what's going to happen Wednesday and maybe even today. You just start saying, God, by your stripes, thank you. What's the truth? I am to walk in good health. I'm to walk in prosperity. You can like it or lump it, but you are. Because God wants you to be an example. Not so that you can have more, but you can be a blessing. You can help more. You can further the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I told you.